Dear all, thank you for joining us on this Thursday afternoon to discuss REN's 2019 full year results. Even though during this quarantine we're all working in separate offices as it should be, we hope this broadcast will run as smoothly as usual. And the procedures will be the same as before. So after these opening remarks, Rodrigo will address the audience and then Gonçalo will go through the presentation that the ones who are connected via webcast can see in their screen in front of them. When Gonçalo is finished, we'll open the line for questions. Now I'll pass the floor to Rodrigo. Rodrigo, please.
Hi, Anna. Hi, all. Welcome to our conference call. This is, as Anna said, this is going to be, you know, a different one for sure. Some of us, I think, are working from an office desk, but most probably most of the people now are working from home. I hope you are all doing okay. You know, these days, the chances of having people in our community sick is high. If that's the case, I wish them a quick recovery. 2 months ago, it was hard to predict that the world would turn so upside down in just a few weeks. And, you know, now we are living a different situation. My introduction is going to be as brief as always. I have a few notes regarding the crisis that may anticipate some of the questions about how and what are we doing. I will do also, of course, a few remarks about 2019 and 2020. Then Gonçalo will take the lead with a presentation before the Q&A. Regarding REN and the ongoing crisis, I'm sharing a status with all our people very frequently. We are taking a very open attitude with our teams. My first communication was at the end of February, explaining our plans to address a situation that became far much worse than the world was anticipating. Our plans are simple and very focused. The only thing we want to do is to preserve our services delivery and protect as much as we can our people. The acceptance and the disciplined delivery inside the company couldn't be better. We are very in sync with the health authorities and the Energy Secretary of State, and everybody is doing as much as they can. You know, so far, you know, I would say so good. REN, like most of the large organizations that are spread around the country, we are in high surveillance mode. We believe our plans are solid, and we trust we will be able to stand up to the challenges. Again, our people are doing a great job, and they understand that we cannot fail in our mission. We decided to support also our communities in different areas. In coordination with the Minister of Health, like several other corporations, we are purchasing equipment for health professionals that need all the help that can be provided to them. Regarding 2019, we will share our comments in a minute. All in all, it was a very good year. I just have a couple of highlights. We are a major player regarding the energy transition efforts. Portugal has always been a front runner on the renewable efforts, and the government plan is to keep leading. Last year, we already registered a few new investments, and as the new solar and wind projects get green light, we will be able to evaluate the capex needed to connect them to the transport grid. We had a record year regarding the natural gas areas. Number of port NLG operations were also a record. And the weight of the terminal NG imports inflow versus the pipeline imports all contributed to record activity, as I'm saying. Our overall quality of service and efficiency remains very high. While a smaller company than most of the other world TSOs, we remain at the top of our peers. Chile has been going through some internal social challenges that added now to the health crisis. Our operations, Electrogas and Transemel, are doing well, and we trust the country will overcome the problems they are facing. The Chilean government is applying to the current health crisis all their available resources. Later, we will comment on the positive contributions of those businesses in 2019. I know some of you are expecting more, but regarding 2020, our objective couldn't be simpler. We want to do a good job handling the actual situation with our services to the community and our people. Keep the company working on the day after to be ready to return to the normal activity as soon as possible. Being at home, if you are not healed or helping others, means we have to focus in our mission and deliver. This is a big change in the way we do our daily work, but I think we will keep doing a great job. As time goes by, governments will announce new measures. I'm sure they will announce tax changes, new social initiatives, new ideas to support the communities. And we will have to wait to understand the new measures as the time goes by. At the present moment, we are working hard on the next phase plans, very close with the energy authorities. They are as committed as we are to recover the lost time. We believe we will be ready to deal with this uncertainty, and we will communicate when adequate. One last comment. Our board has been extremely supportive of the company management, and we feel very good about it. Gonçalo, if you want to start.
Okay, thank you very much, Rodrigo. If you want, I'll start and go through the presentation. So starting on slide number 2 and on the highlights. First of all, you can see that EBITDA came down around 1.2% to 486.2 million, 6 million below 2018. This is mainly due or is composed by several impacts. The main one is RAB remuneration, which dropped a little bit over 11 million. I will comment a little bit more on that. And that was, I'd say, compensated partially by, one, not only the contribution of international assets, but also by the contribution of lower costs overall. And there's some one-off impacts, both negative and positive. One of them, which is negative and impacted also the full year, was the fact that in 18 we had the sale of the LPG business and accounted for 4 million euros. In terms of net profit, that went up almost by 3% to close to 119 million, so 118.9. And that was a solid result. That came also on the back of financial results coming down. Average cost of debt continued to go down to around 2.1%. That, despite the fact that we still are paying the levy, the full amount of the levy in 2019. Finally, on this page, I want to point out the very positive development of CapEx and transfers to RAB. And both of them increased materially to around 190 million. And that shows not only some specific projects that were done last year, but I'd say a trend of increasing CapEx that we may see materializing in the coming years. Moving on to slide number 3, you can see again the exact numbers of CapEx. So you see them that they go up by around 55%. You can also see that net debt goes up by a little bit, but is, I'd say, not stable, but it's also stabilizing if you take out the acquisition of Transamount. Going to slide number 4 and looking at the Portuguese sovereign debt risk. So this is the curve that we had been seeing last year. So this is clearly the main thing that pushes our results down. So you can see, and namely the rate in the electricity side coming down. That has an impact of around 7.8 million, which makes that the ROAR impact is around 2/3 of the full impact in RAB remuneration. And it's mainly coming from electricity, because in both gas and transmission and distribution, that is not the case. You can actually see that gas distribution is pretty stable, and we'll see that. Of course, that in 2020, rates are a little bit different now because of the special context in which we are living. 10-year Portuguese bond was now at around 90 basis points, slightly below, slightly above. It was already at 1.5%, and it came from levels of 20, 30 basis points just before. So there was a material increase on those rates. Going to slide number five and commenting a little bit about CapEx. As I said, this was a good year. It was much above our business plan estimates, and it is showing, I'd say, not only some specific construction that we did or project last year, but some, I'd say, structural improvement in CapEx that started already in 2019. In that year, the main project was wind float, both in CapEx and in transfer to RAV. In transfer to RAV, it accounted almost by 50 million euros. Even without the wind float project, you would see that CapEx would still be coming up more than 18%. You can see also that gas distribution continues to go up also in CapEx, as we are continuing to ramp up penetration in port gas areas. Relative and just commenting on 2020, we were expecting also a strong CapEx. Of course, the present day and the context of the virus implies some delays in construction, but we will have to see how that develops over time. Slide number six, you can see the evolution of the regulated asset base coming down. Just to comment that, as you see, electricity without premium is already stable, given the increase in CapEx last year, and Port Gas continues to increase also their asset base, contrasting with the other businesses. Moving on to slide number seven, and going a little bit more in detail on RAB remuneration. So basically what you see is what I told you before, which is rate of return is responsible for around two-thirds of the impact, a little bit over 68%, and the RAB decline is more or less the rest. I can point out also that Port Gas is stable. As you see, the small impact from rate of return is compensated by the increase in the regulated asset base. You see that in electricity, it comes mostly from the rate. In gas transmission, it's actually the opposite because, as you know, last year, it was still the last year of the old remuneration for the gas assets. So in gas transmission, what you feel more in that year was actually the decrease in the asset base and not so much the rate of remuneration. So moving then to slide number eight and nine, but I will focus on slide number eight. And I want to spend a little bit of time here talking about costs because there's some specific dynamics that I want to go into a little bit of detail, because although you are seeing costs going up, what you see is that, and you would see in the next slide, but let's stay on slide number eight. You would see on slide number nine that core OPEX is actually coming down to 2.8%, and that OPEX is going up because of basically two items in pass-through costs, which are the ITC mechanism, which is driven by exports and imports, and that went up, and by the ERS costs, which also went up a good bit. So looking at our own operational costs, so core OPEX, in slide number eight, what you can see is first, and let's talk about, if you want, personnel costs first, and then look at the others. Personnel costs you see here coming down or going up 0.1. This is actually, in consolidated terms, the reverse, because there's part of the costs that are going from Port Gas to the consolidated by integrating people in our shared services. So consolidated personnel costs are actually coming down 0.6 million euros, around 1%. And that is driven between the normal mix of increases and a specific decrease of 1.7 million because of changes of assumptions in post-employment benefits, namely the revisions of the discount rates, which had to come down as per recommendation of the actuarial consultants that we have. Okay? And that one is stable, but it's not going to be recurring on a year-on-year basis. So you have this decrease, and then it should be stable from now on. Second point I want to comment is Portgás. So it is also improving. Part of it is this transfer of personnel costs that I mentioned before. Part of it is, I would say, cost savings slash synergies. We already knew that this was going to be the year that we are going to finish the consolidation of Portgás. And so although the synergies are not huge, we knew that we are going to have around 1.5 million of cost savings, which is what we have. Again, we are not going to keep on decreasing Portgás costs as we did this year, but this should stay for a longer period. Thirdly, in other costs, you see a decrease across the board. There is a decrease in O&M costs by increased efficiencies. There is a decrease in IT costs, also by efficiency measures. There is a decrease of consulting costs, because in 18 we had the business plan that we had some consulting costs in other issues relating to tax and other questions. So we have a decrease of 1 million here. So there's cost decreases across the board. So although I have that one-off that I mentioned in personal costs of 1.7 million in a year-on-year logic, there's also some other costs which are actually the reverse. So you have one-off costs for the TransML acquisition, which is around 1.1 million or 1 million. And you also have here something which is not one-off but makes costs increase, and it's kind of it's not telling, because you have also 1 million of electricity costs that go up but are tied to an increase in activity in the terminal. So you actually have more revenues and more EBITDA because of this. But looking only at costs, it's not that they are not recurrent, but you only see part of the picture. So they are revenue-related, unlike others. So taking into account all of this, what you have is a core OPEX that comes down 2.8%. Personnel cost is coming down around 1%, and the other costs are coming down 4.5%. Yes, there are several one-off issues in here, so you should not expect this kind of cost decrease in the coming years, but I think it was a very good performance in terms of cost discipline and delivering on what we said we were going to do in the case of Portgás. So slide 9, as I said, has those two, I'd say, costs you see there, ITC mechanism and cost with us that go up significantly. Apart from that, you see that the core OPEX is actually coming down, as I just spoke about in detail. Okay. Going to slide number 10, and so looking at full EBITDA. So the full picture is what we said. So we see asset remuneration coming down. We see a good contribution of OPEX. What you also see is the contribution of both TransML and Electrogas. So commenting on that and building on what Rodrigo already said, so Electrogas had a good year. Revenues went up a little bit over 3%, EBITDA also a little bit below 3%. There was higher demand in terms, namely, of the take-or-pay contracts, the firm contracts that we have. We had a little bit more of revenues because of some imported gas from Argentina, and that we also have use our pipeline in the reverse direction. So Electrogas, I'd say, pretty stable business and nothing out of the ordinary. TransML, the same thing. What you see here is only the 3 months. Okay, the full year of TransML was higher, was around 11 million, although you don't see that impact here, but all inside those 11 million, there's a couple of one-off impacts also because of some receipts of penalties in contracts. It's not impact these numbers in any material way, but you should not take those 11 million that you see in TransML clearly as a recurrent base. That was what you should expect in a few years, but not right away. So those, as I said, are impacted here by a couple of non-recurring impacts. Those non-recurring impacts in TransML in those 11 million account for more or less 2.5 to 2.7 million euros, okay? So I would say that international business in Chile, I think they are delivering. It's small, but it's delivering, and it's safe, and it's delivering on what we were expecting. Just to comment on the other that you see there on slide number 10, that's basically because of a couple of things. One is an impact in OMIP, which is a small stake that we have, participation that we have in this company. And there was a change due to IFRS, basically the goodwill not being amortized, if you want to know the details. That has an impact of 1.6 million. Nestor also has a little bit better performance. And REN Telecom, although a small business, also had an increase of around 0.6 million in that year. So everything adds up, and that's why it has that, I'd say, higher than normal impact. Going to slide 11, so depreciations, nothing much. Taxes, I'd say, within what we already knew, so the sales and the rest is more or less in line. There's no surprises there. Talking about financial results, basically what you see here is an improvement of 9%. This is explained basically three quarters by the decrease in average cost of funding, which was of around 17 basis points. You don't see that in the rounded numbers. You see 2.2 to 2.1. The exact number was 17 basis points. One quarter is explained by the lower average amount of gross debt, which for the full year in average was lower than the year before. Moving to slide number 12 and looking at debt, and then I'll talk a little bit more about debt. What you can see is that if you take out TransML, you would actually have a small improvement in the overall debt. So this, you see the two impacts, TransML acquisition and TransML net debt, are actually a little bit over 176 million, close to 100, and you see that the debt goes up 173. So you have a small decrease. You also know and you notice that CapEx was higher, but that is good. So you are having less decrease in net debt because you are doing more CapEx. So I think this is also good news. Apart from that, you have still good cash flow generation. Let me talk to you, since I'm talking about that, let me talk to you a little bit about liquidity. I think it's important. So we have at the end of the year around 1.1 billion of liquidity, okay? And this was more or less 1 million of undrawn lines and around 100 million of short-term banking facilities. This is actually now a little bit higher. So we just concluded the finalization of an additional loan with Bay of 90 million. So full liquidity is around 1.2 billion. So that is more or less 2.5 years of liquidity as of now, and considering that part of the refinancing this year is a loan with a large Portuguese bank, which is, let's say, certain to be extended at least 1 year, that would increase the liquidity to over 2 years. So our expectation now is that we only have to go to market to maintain the more than 2 year liquidity profile that we consider important to maintain in around mid-year of next year. So this is the type of situation where it pays off to be conservative. There is no exposure whatsoever to volume risk, so we don't have any exposure to volume risk at all in terms of electricity demand. And there is no exposure. Actually, I was going to say there's no exposure to interest rate. There is positive exposure to interest rate in the sense that if rates go up a little bit, we actually benefit marginally in the net income after that. So in 2020, we have some refinancing. We have a bond refinancing in October that's already covered by a credit facility that we did in 2019. We have that loan from that one bank, which is basically certain to be refinanced. And then we have other several small loans. So we are in an extremely comfortable position in terms of liquidity. We feel that this is a business that, given its strong predictability in terms of cash flow, namely of revenue, since they are all regulated, is a very strong point in terms when things are a little bit more volatile in the market. If you have further questions on this, I'm happy to answer to them in the Q&A. So moving to slide 13 on net profit, it's basically concluding what I've said before. So EBITDA comes down, but it's compensated by what is below EBITDA. So ending up with this increase of around 3 million or close to 3% in net profit for the company. So going to slide 14 and as concluding remarks, I think that we had a solid result last year. I think although there's some one-off issues in or impacts in costs, there was a strong cost discipline. There is a very positive development in terms of CapEx. There is good development in terms of the impact of the assets from outside of Portugal. And so we keep focused on delivering on what we have in the business plan and maintaining investment grade and maintaining our conservative profile. Let me pass just to Rodrigo before the Q&A for a comment that he wants to make.
Okay. Well, thank you, Gonzalo. I think today we went a little bit deeper in the explanation of the numbers. You know, the objective is to try to anticipate most of the questions you have. And I just want to make a quick remark. We are now evaluating what will be the solution for our general shareholder meeting. The plan is to do it in early May as usual. We are going to follow we discussed this at the board. We are going to follow the recommendations for a telematic general shareholder meeting. We are working on the details. We will try not to postpone at all the meeting. You know, we have no reasons to believe that, you know, we will benefit from any delay. And this is the plan, and of course you will know about it, and we will announce it soon. And now we can go to the Q&A. I'm here with Gonzalo, with João Conceição also, and ready to take the questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, press the hash key. Once again, it's star 1 to ask a question. And the first question comes from the line of Sara Pacini from Mediobanca. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions, and I hope you and your family are all well. Actually, thank you very much for the presentation since it covered most of the questions. Maybe just some to integrate. So the first one is on the coronavirus implications of the business. The CEO explained very well that operations are ongoing and then do continue to provide the supply. If it's possible maybe to quantify how much could be the delay on CapEx that could be on 2020, a percentage of CapEx maybe that could be delayed, and also if this is related to new renewable options, if they are on hold, so any indication on how much could be delayed, that would be very helpful. And also, if the government or companies decide to suspend the collecting of electricity bills, if this may imply an increase in the tariff deficit and therefore a delay also in the reduction in the tariff deficit that the regulator is expecting. Would be the first question. The second is on the Chilean operations. So you explained very well that first on Transemel this year there were some one-off, and maybe the next years. So, an indication if Transemel is still in line with the expectations that you provided, or is doing better than your expectation, the targets that you gave in July. And also the same on Electrogas. Last year we had about 6 million. This year is reporting 10 million. Can we assume on Electrogas that it will report a recurrent 10 million of contribution? And finally, on the special energy levy, if it's possible to understand if the government, the commission is still discussing on it, when we could have an update on the possible reduction in the tax. Thank you very much.
Hello, Sara. This is Rob Pakistan speaking. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to you all. Regarding your first question on the impact of the coronavirus, well, step by step, on the operation, when what operation is concerned in security of supply, we didn't have until now any impact at all whatsoever. Of course, this situation has impacted our ongoing CapEx, like you mentioned. But to be fully honest with you, it's still too early to make any kind of estimation of how much going to be the delay. Because first we are still in the first part of the year, so normally this is when our work starts to ramp up. Secondly, because there is impact on our providers that we need to assess and to see what's going to be the overall come out. What concerns to the delay due to the impact on the tariff deficit, this depends on the decisions that the regulator will take. Until now, I mean, what we have seen is some reduction in terms of consumption. It's still again too soon to quantify if this reduction is going to be this figure is going to increase or it's going to stay constant. So it's still too soon to see it or to assess if the impact is going to be on tariff deficit or on tariff deviations, which are two completely different things. Of course, if you have less volume this year, of less consumption, you will have a tariff deviation because the forecasts were not accounting for this reduction. But this is going to be recovered in 2 years' time according to the current regulatory model. Another story is if the regulator decides any kind of measures that impact the tariff deficit. But again, REN is not affected by the tariff deficit until now. So overall, we are trying to have all our operations going in what concerns to security of supply, and so far we have managed to do so. The rest, we will have to wait a little bit to see what the impact will be. Thank you.
So relating to Chile, your question. So yes, I think they are both broadly in line. So both Electrogas and Transemel are broadly in line. The transition process of Transemel is ongoing. Of course, the situation of no travel poses a little bit of challenges, but I think it's not material at this stage. The situation in the country politically, they had a referendum scheduled for April given the situation now. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that now it was also, I'd say, pretty much expected. And so I'd say that the companies both are doing well. You were saying in relation to Electrogas. So Electrogas contribution last year was closer to 7 million euros in the net income of REN. So I'd say that this is the number that it has been. So the year before it was 6.6, so I say that between 6.5, so it's around this number. So in 1 year you may have a little bit more, in 1 year a little bit less, but they are, I say, completely within the expectation that we have. What we would expect is that TransML, without those one-off impacts that I explained to you, would continue to grow as they are deploying the CapEx plan that they have to deploy in Chile. So they are, things in Chile are moving ahead, and so as of now they are continuing to develop the CapEx that they need to do. Rodrigo?
Okay, thanks, Marcel. Regarding the CES, well, this is a little bit early to try to guess what will be the timing for decisions. I think the CES at the moment is the smallest of the problems of this government or any government. Then we will have to wait and see if there is any change of plans. Regarding the let's say the midterm, short term, I still feel quite confident about the end game. The end game is going to be that the CES will go away. Now the question is, depending on how all this situation will impact the country, and then you know if we will see some change in the very near term, maybe. You know, but as I said, we don't try to guess what the governments will decide. We will wait for the decisions. On the positive side, for sure, we are expecting that nothing will be changed on the midterm, and that I think is good news. We'll see.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Jorge Guimarães from GP Capital Market. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Most of my questions have been answered, but still a follow-up on this sales question. And actually, I believe the doubt about the evolution of the tariff deficit or tariff debt is exactly related to the uncertainty about sales. And in such sense, if now we end up with a larger tariff deficit or tariff debt in Portugal, would you still expect the same a faster convergence to zero in the midterm, or just a simple delay in the path to zero sales? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jorge. You know, I have to repeat what I said. You know, we have to wait for the decision makers to come out with something. You know, this is you know, the sales, the tariff deficit, the let's say the most optimistic plans were to be zero by 2022. Some people said 2023. You know, you have a little bit of all kind of guesses. At the moment, what we know is we have, you know, a big situation going on. You know, I'm sure the governments will have to take many decisions, and I think CES will come out sooner or later. But we need to wait. To be honest, you know, at the moment, although of course we would like CES to go away right now, it will not go away right now. We knew that before. We will have to wait a little bit more to understand what's going to be the full impact of the situation. And what you said is true. You know, it's everything is related. And we will be here to deal with the solution that will come up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. It's star 1 to ask a question.
I think if we don't have more questions, We will finish the call. We really appreciate your time. We know that this is very difficult to participate in all the calls now because everybody's doing the same thing we do. And as I said in the beginning, Ana and Gonzalo, João, we wish you the best for you and for your people, for your friends, for your families. And we'll keep being very focused on managing the business. And I'm sure Ana will be available to take any other questions you may have. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. If you want to call me right away, you know you can. Thank you.